sobre as esferas nas quais os mundos existem.
Above the spheres within which the worlds exist, because there are various spheres, various levels, and therefore infinite worlds.
Estamos nos referindo aos mundos positivos.
And we are referring to the positive worlds and the positive spheres.
Os mundos podem pertencer a sistema definido.
But the worlds can belong to a specific system or can also be intersystemic. The worlds can belong to more than one system. There are worlds that clearly belong to one system. In this case, you know whether it is positive or negative, what it is. But there are intersystemic worlds. There are worlds that have various systems within them. If we attune to different spheres and to different worlds, we strengthen our energy. Our energy becomes more developed because it is no longer limited merely to one sphere, which is not even one of the more positive ones. When we link up with various spheres, and when we link up with various worlds, we strengthen our energy, because we also learn to react. We also learn to resolve things forcefully, as you know. And this means a renovation of one's consciousness. When you deal with various spheres, when you deal with various levels, when you are aware of various levels, this is a continuous renovation. But the first condition for us to make these contacts, because sometimes they are contacts with things that are very different to those that have already been established within us. The first condition for us to make those contacts is acceptance. So in a world where we begin to work on ourselves, we learn acceptance as a principle. Because without this acceptance, you unconsciously exclude something that is different. You do not accept the quality of another sphere, which is not your quality. Notice that for us to have our consciousness thoroughly included in the one consciousness, we really have to be different from what we are. We really have to work hard to attain our transformation and our inclusion into a greater consciousness. So there are physical worlds, such as this one we are used to. There are supraphysical worlds, which are more subtle worlds beyond this physical one. And there are also worlds in intermediary zones. And sometimes we find ourselves in intermediary zones between this physical concrete world and a superphysical world. For us to feel at ease and for us to feel more secure in the superphysical worlds, which we do not know very well, we need to know that in that world or in those superphysical worlds, there are beings who have forms like ours, except that our form is dense, our form is concrete, or our form is coarse, as you wish. It's a kind of form. And in the superphysical worlds, the beings also have forms, except that these are subtle forms. They are not visible to physical eyes, but they also have form. The forms exist. When the superphysical worlds are very advanced, there are also beings who have no form, but who can take on a form to show themselves to us, or to be able to take action, or to be able to manifest themselves in levels that have more form. Those beings from superphysical levels are of a much more subtle substance than we are, obviously, and are only perceptible at a subtle level. If we develop a certain sensitivity, without that we do not perceive them. So in order for us to seek superphysical worlds or open ourselves to them, we need to apply ourselves to becoming more subtle. Otherwise, we run the risk of only knowing about this in a theoretical way, instead of actually establishing a real contact. In those worlds, the beings have a life that is very different to ours, and some beings are very different to us. And since they are different to us, they can automatically have an influence on us because they are more subtle, because they are in contact with our aura, so they can have an influence on us. So we can be influenced by different kinds of beings who are in the superphysical levels. Some of those beings influence us openly. We feel it, we perceive it, they have the intention of being in contact. And if we relate to these beings, we are greatly helped. And for them, this is an opportunity to serve. Other beings that are not so positive may want to influence us without our perceiving it. This happens on the superphysical levels. The beings that prefer to influence us without our perceiving it might be ignorant beings. These beings might not be from the same levels as the others, the ones we have taken upon ourselves to contact. And those beings that are not so developed, the ones that influence us without our being aware of it, because there has been no work of unification, no consent to work together, because they are ignorant, they can influence us without our noticing it. And here we run the risk of mixing up that influence we receive with things that are our own. So we need to be very careful about superphysical life, just as we have to take certain precautions here, except that the precautions taken here are more evident. The dangers are more obvious, we are aware, and things are concrete, they are visible. On the superphysical levels, things are not so simple. So for us to be aware, for us to inhabit those superphysical levels as well, we have to do some work. We have to make certain preparations. And if we make these contacts without being prepared, under their influence, we could do things that we ourselves would not do spontaneously. And we could even be possessed by these influences, which could be beings or could be thought forms created in the subtle world. We could be possessed by these things without perceiving it. So, for example, we could be possessed by ideas of fear, ideas of insecurity, of ambition, of so many things that may not really be our own. They are only partly ours, only a tiny part are ours. And this tiny part contacts these things from the superphysical worlds, and then it increases, expands, and for all practical purposes becomes our own. So we need to take care, first of all, to know what our aims are. First, what our choices are. We must be very careful to know where we are with these things. Because if you, intelligently or subtly, get into contact with superphysical levels without having firmly made your own choices, you tend towards involution without meaning to. For example, if you run into an erotic force in a subtle world, and before deciding to enter that world, you did not examine your choices in this field, in contact with this world, in contact with this force, you will behave here in a way that you would not have chosen in the beginning. But since you had not deeply examined your own choices, at that moment, in the intermediary episode, you become confused, and you act as an instrument of a force from that place, or as an instrument of a thought form from that place. And the thought forms from that place are sometimes very vague, because they are not the forms of a being, an evolved being, or an evil being. But these are not vague, they are firm, very decided. But with the vague forms that you find there, with the ancient thought forms that are still vitalized, with thought forms that have linked to others, and here with this contact, if you are not very clear about your own choices, very soon your actions are not your own. Your actions are no longer you, or they are mixed up with that which is not you. When we perceive some beings from those superphysical worlds through our sensitivity, they can give us an impression of clarity or firmness, but then we need to examine that content. We need to examine what kind of force this is, because the force may be very definite, but not a positive one. So we need to really know what is positive for us within our choice and be very aware of this. And also, in these worlds, the contacts are superphysical. They are subtle contacts, but we can also have subjective contacts, subconscious contacts. And this now happens in an intermediary zone. In that intermediary zone, which really deludes a lot because it seems to be something intelligent, something subtle, something different, but everything that deludes us in this way comes from an intermediary zone, because that which is really the positive superphysical does not have those characteristics to feed our vanity, to feed our willingness to give in to things that are not our choice. In other words, this indicates an intermediary zone. This means we are in contact with an intermediary area. In those intermediary areas, where things are not defined one way or another, where things are flexible and halfway, this zone is where we as egos get along beautifully. The ego is very happy in this intermediary area. If the ego is not controlled by a personality that is already illumined by the soul, because the soul does not influence the ego, the soul is on its level, and the soul is concerned with the mental, the emotional, and the physical etheric bodies as a whole. The soul takes care of the personality, not the ego. The ego will be absorbed into this personality when the personality is mature and has developed somewhat. So the ego is very happy in this intermediary zone. The ego does not want any other life, because in this intermediary zone, there is no control over it. It does what it wants. It goes any way it wants. This intermediary zone is very comfortable for it. So we can be instruments of many forces, of many things that are in this intermediary area, as well as others that are well defined in the superphysical area. So we have to be very aware of all this. In our atmosphere, in our environment, I am not referring to the physical environment, but rather to the psychic environment, the mental environment. There are waves of a very low vibration mixed with others of a high vibration. Sounds, lights, colors manifest these vibrations. So one way for us to attune our vibration is to watch over our life of sounds. We must be careful of the sounds that we emit, of the sounds that we put into movement, because we make sounds move through many actions. We accept certain sounds. We contact certain sounds. You have seen what the sounds of today are doing to young people. It is clear. You have seen what the sounds of today are producing in the world, in the intermediary world, and in the world of the surface. So we need to work with sounds very consciously, because this is how we can be more protected from that which is so disorderly in the intermediary area, from all that is destructive. And in the same way, we should work with colors and develop our sensitivity, make up our minds to be in conscious contact with these things, not to run away from them, but to contact them consciously. We need conscious contact with this, because all of this which is disorderly, all that is destructive, that is disharmonious in the intermediary levels and in the superphysical ones, all of this is meant to be rescued, regenerated, elevated. This universe will not reach its resolution. This universe will not enter into deep sleep to reincarnate later on in a more advanced universe, as long as all of this exists here. So all of this which exists here in the intermediary zones, in the superphysical, in the physical, all this that needs to be balanced, that needs to be placed in proper order, that needs to be harmonized, rescued. So long as this universe continues to exist, the universe is not reconciled. So for this universe to complete its cycle and reincarnate in another cycle, everything here has to be resolved, rescued, integrated into the overall positive. So you see that the work of each one who is conscious of these things is to take up this task one day, or gradually increase this task and not become complacent with a certain type of work, at a certain level of work with which we are already familiar. So let's say that we feel an inner impulse, an impulse from the spirit, an impulse from the unconscious to take action, to be positive. So then we carry this out, we do this, we create this, we help in this, we cooperate with that impulse. But as individual beings, all of us have our limits. And when we create, as far as our limits permit, this is where the danger lies. The danger is when you have given all that you could naturally give. Here is the danger. Because here is where you stop and sit back. In other words, this is where you die, where you wander around dead, living dead, because you have given what you had to give. So you are living dead. This is the danger. This is the danger of spiritual groups to remain crystallized at their best level. So, of course, when a being, the personality, the ego, sees that it is producing, that it is giving, that it is being useful, everything is running smoothly, everything is moving along very well. Now, when all of this reaches the maximum capacity of the ego or of the personality, or even in some cases the maximum capacity of the soul, when this reaches its maximum, its limits, when it needs another impulse to be able to continue, here is the danger for humans. Here is where people get complacent, they get smug and settle into the condition they have reached, and they do not attract a new momentum. Of course, they cannot continue without a new impulse. They have reached their personal limits in their sphere, on their level, their heads have touched the ceiling. This is the danger in spiritual groups. This happens to those who are honest. This happens to the best. This happens to those who have given of themselves wholeheartedly. They feel their heads touch the ceiling, and that's the end of it. There are other spheres, other levels, that are interconnected, that interweave each other. But this intertwines gradually through the work of the universe. But if we have not made a choice within ourselves, this does not reach us. So we can be here in an entwining of spheres, in an entwining of levels, all ready and mature for our consciousness to be expanded. And here we feel our heads touching our own ceiling. And so nothing moves, it stops short. So spiritual groups or service groups really have to be aware of this issue. In all of this, there are the hostile forces. And of course, these adverse forces are loose in space, because everything in space is there to be carried out. And adverse forces have a lot to achieve, because first of all, the work of these contrary forces is to thwart, to hinder all that has to be done. This is the work of the adverse forces. Now, after they have greatly confounded all that needed to be done and all that needed to happen, this is where the task of the hostile forces begins. They themselves have to become transformed into positive forces. So the hostile beings, the beings that are antagonistic within this space, within this universe, are always struggling with the others. We need to know the psychology of these adverse beings, of these hostile forces. Hostile beings are not always antagonistic because they have to defend their vantage point We have to take notice of this. A being is adverse because you are accomplishing something and he does not want you to do it no matter what. The adverse being fights against and does not even help that which is for his own good. Do you see what antagonism is? Hostility does not mean that he would do something else, no. Hostility means that he does not allow you to fulfill something that he sees needs to be done. Do you see what adverse beings are like? Simple, isn't it? But we have to know this psychology. And some of those adverse beings are against evolution. This means they work for non-evolution. And others are simply forces of involution, which is something else. Involution means I am not going to evolve, I am going to regress. They gradually move towards involution. And they work with all of us so that we gradually backslide into involution. This means we gradually degenerate, we gradually go backwards. This type of adverse being or hostile force causes us to go backwards, causes us to regress. And the other type does not allow us to evolve. Do you see what the two fellows are like? They are twins with very different characters. And both of them use exactly the same means, our lower nature. They use our lower nature. They use our spirit of complacency, of accommodativeness. They use our emotions. They use our pursuit of comfort, our pursuit of security, our self-defense, and all of that. And they attack, above all, those who are seeking. They especially attack those who are positive. They attack, they go after precisely the ones who are treading the path of evolution, the ones who are cooperating with the plan of evolution. And they do not need any reason to attack. If you are seeking evolution, if you are producing, this is cause enough for them to attack. They do not need any other reason. It is not something personal about you, nor is it always a question of affinity of energy. It is a question of anti-evolution or of involution. It is not personal, because these adverse beings do not have a soul. They do not have a monad. They are simply forces, pure energies that took on form. So there is no possibility to have an authentic and real relationship with these things, because they are not souls such as ours. You see, we are not talking about lost souls. We are talking about beings from the superphysical levels and the intermediary levels. Because what we are calling beings do not always have souls. They may have no soul. Beings are a force, a concentrated force. They are a directed force, a force that perhaps is guided by a force greater than what they are. And when you face this, and when you come up against this scenario, you have to be really impassive. You must not react to this. If you react to this, you are going to instigate a war, because they join together. They unite with each other, even though they are mutual enemies. You have seen that when human beings are under that influence, they also unite, even though they are enemies. You have seen this happen. Sometimes they do not like one another, but if a motive arises, they quickly join together. You see how things are reflected. This is not part of one's soul. It is not part of the essence of the human being. This is just the presence of those beings. It is those beings taking action. Because there is no reason for us to join together to counteract something. Our real nature, our real disposition is to be truly impassive, to be really impersonal, to be open. We are meant to be really receptive. And to be receptive, we have to be impassive. If not, what kind of openness is this? We are open but on guard against that to which we are not receptive. We are receptive to what we want, but we are not open to what we do not want. And we see this all the time. We have to use our contacts with the superphysical levels to dissolve in us those hardened coatings, those confusions, those misunderstandings, to dissolve in us that figure that we have formed, which is not us. We are not that figure. When we contact beings from superphysical levels, we manage to have things clearer for us, because suddenly it becomes clearer, and we see an involutionary being. We see an anti-evolutionary being, or we see a being that is just hanging around. We see this. But we have to have this sensitivity. We have to have this connection. We have to have made that choice to see things in a subtle way, to see things in a superphysical way, and not only see what is concrete and explicit, because when something is concrete and explicit, it has already come to an end. We have nothing more to do there. We did have a function while something was coming down, while it was incarnating, or even when it had not yet even begun to come down, while it had not yet begun to incarnate. We do have a function on those levels. We have bodies to act on those levels. We have an astral body to act on the astral level. We have a mental body to act on the mental level, to radiate positive ideas on the mental level. We have these bodies. We have a body of light to act on the spiritual level. So this superphysical contact is really one of the greatest needs at this time, not only individually, but also in a group and in a planetary way. When we become indifferent to these things, when we become unresponsive and we say, this has nothing to do with me, I have other more important things to do now. This indifference eventually leads one to what is called depression. Depression can only take hold of someone who had become indifferent at a given moment when his or her cooperation had been needed. So our cooperation, I believe, is always necessary. But when it is evident that your cooperation is necessary, and you do not contribute all that you could, you become depressed. Sooner or later, you become depressed. Because it is precisely in this state of depression that these adverse beings of involution like to meander. When you show that you do not do what you can, when you show that you do not give all that you can, that you do not fulfill what you ought to fulfill, these adverse beings get very active, and you become a field for them to actuate. This is called depression. Now, this depression ends up in ignorance, because these beings are intrinsically ignorant. So when you are depressed, it shows through and you become more and more ignorant. You lose your vivacity, you lose your vision, you continually lose contact with subtle things.
e às vezes são menos sutis.
The attacks are sometimes subtle and sometimes less subtle.
Quando os seres involutivos,
the attacks are subtle when the adverse beings of involution are of a divine origin, when they had a higher origin. And the less subtle attacks are from ordinary beings of involution, common adverse beings of involution. And in the same way that some people are evolved, some adverse beings are also evolved. And in the same way that there are normal people, there are ordinary beings of involution. There is a parallelism here. Those adverse beings of divine origin are the forces that decided to follow their own impulses rather than the impulses of the all. Because a great many of these hostile forces came out of the all, in the same way that everything comes out of the all. But at the very moment when they were meant to cooperate with the all, at that very moment they decided to follow their own will. They had a high origin. They had a divine origin. So these are the subtle hostile forces, because they know very well where they came from, and they know very well how to attack in a subtle way. Now, the ordinary adverse forces, those normal hostile forces, during the process of creation, these forces came to a standstill. They became crystallized. They did not evolve. So some adverse forces are very intelligent because they came from a very high origin and decided to follow their own will. You have to be very careful with these. And there are those ordinary ones that did not manage to evolve. Do you see the difference? So you see that blind force acting in your instincts, acting on your weaker side, acting in your subconscious. You see this right away. But there are the other adverse forces acting on your mental level, acting on your emotions, disguising themselves as forces of light. See how many hostile forces of the evolved kind are inside of certain sects. See how it is. Just look at how they cloak themselves. And I am talking about the hostile forces for you to see. So it is a hostile force talking about God. It is a hostile force talking about Christ. It is an adverse force talking about angels. An adverse force teaching you how to become an angel. Can you perceive how subtle this is? Can you see the way this happens? So the more they rebelled in the beginning, because they wanted to follow their own will and did not want to be part of the One, the greater was their rebellion, and the greater hostile forces they are today. Very great. You see these hostile forces in so many things, in the economy, in democracy. These hostile forces are disguised with coverings, masks, varnish, colors, clothing, techniques, diplomacy. Well, I believe we can stop here. Very well. How to get rid of those hostile forces? The first thing is, if you manage to recognize them, don't become upset. If you recognize or see them, don't get disturbed. Be careful. Watch your temperature. Do not be disturbed, either downwards or upwards. Do not get upset. Because by not getting upset, you gradually find your silence. And you gradually begin to make contact on this earth with the nuclei of evolution, the planetary centers. So this Earth has many planetary centers. Planetary centers are those terrestrial nuclei, those nuclei of the terrestrial consciousness that are directly linked with the cosmos. The planetary centers are not under any influence of the intermediary zones. The planetary centers do not receive the influence of the subtle zones when these are not positive. These planetary centers have a direct link with the cosmos. And the more developed planetary centers of the Earth are actively connected with the central government of the cosmos. Therefore, when facing all the life of today, all of the renegades of today, all the music, with all the art of today, all this which is of today, you need to remain impassive, because all of this has something behind it, and you can make a direct contact with that which is really on another level, which is really at the center of the life of the universe, at the center of cosmic life. And this you can do through the planetary centers. So the work for these times does not start with the commandments. It does not begin with rules of discipline. It does not begin with impositions. No, the work begins with your making the planetary centers known. See here, planetary centers exist. The planetary centers carry out these tasks. The planetary centers that we know about are this one and that one and the other one. This is how the work begins. When you perceive this and connect with it, you are on the bridge. By making this link, you are on the bridge. So, of course, there are many planetary centers on Earth, on the inner dimensions of the Earth, but seven of them have been revealed to us. Seven means seven processes, seven levels of energy, seven ways for us to be with cosmic energy. Ex Mislitlan, Aurora, Lisfatima, Ibarra, Anuteya, Minajan. They are ways for you to be in touch with this cosmic energy. They are ways for you to be in contact with this, as well as all of the constellations and also all of the planets, which already have made this connection and are there to help the Earth as a whole, to help humanity to make these connections. So we must see what we are to connect with according to our disposition, our inwardness, our behavior, our intention. See to what we are to connect, so as not to waste energy, not to waste time with all this so-called, quote-unquote, wonderful structure out there of those adverse forces. And so to close, we are going to hear this phrase from Sri Aurobindo, impenetrable, a hidden mystery, the vast plan of which we are a part. Its harmonies are a dissonance to our vision, because we don't know the great purpose they serve.